The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a log as heavy load.
All right. Yes, it settles in your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa with Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and I'm here with my wonderful producer, Christina. How are you, my dear?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm getting a little sign here. Mr. Terry, can you push your microphone up? Do you mean like this?
Yes, thank you, sir.
Is that better?
Yes.
Is that why I couldn't hear Nick very well the last program?
Yes, that's why I want all the listeners to clearly hear you and everything was going on here.
So. Thank you, my dear. I am here this morning and excited about it with Patrick Jones and his beautiful wife, Lori. How are you two doing this morning?
Wonderful.
Very good. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Yeah, you know, and I hope you'll be a very frequent guest on this program. I think there's probably no one better in Shasta County to give us the lay of the land or understand local politics more than you do. So I think this is gonna end up being a pretty good program today, folks. I want you to make sure you record this. You send the link out, and you get this out to everybody. Patrick, I want to start, first of all, with the elections. Where do they stand right now? It seems like we get sort of staggered accounts here. Where do we really stand right now? Do you have any insight to that?
Well, yeah, so this happens every election cycle. So you have, for example, on March 5th, you had the primary election at around 8:30 or so. You have a first number that comes in, and these are from and then you have another number that comes in a little bit later, and that tends to give you kind of an idea of where you're at. And then over the next couple of days you have another drop, and then another few 3 or 4 days you have another drop, and I think we've had 4 or 5 drops now. Mm-hmm. And so another one will come next week. We're down now to about 1,000 ballots left. And when you divide that up in 5 districts for the supervisor races, then you're talking, you know, less than 300 votes to be counted in these races. So for races like mine, for example, that's not going to change anything, and it's not going to change, but maybe by a percent, if that. The one that's obviously most interesting is the recall, which looks like Kevin Cry is going to survive the recall by a very similar number to which he was elected. So this is almost a mirror image of what the voters chose in the general election last time. And so we're pretty happy with that. That, to me, was the most important race. Obviously, my race is very important to me, but keeping Supervisor Cry, that was a real injustice for them, for the liberals in this community to attack someone just for the simple fact that they lived in District 1, which is the easiest district to recall someone. Mm-hmm. When we recalled Leonard Modi, we knew we had an uphill battle. That is not the easiest district to work on, but it was the particular person that we were after. That wasn't the case with this recall. They weren't really after Kevin. They were after the seat to get control of the board, and it backfired on them. And so good for Kevin. Chair Cry is doing a great job. We're going to get a lot done. We've already got a lot done in the first couple months as he has taken over as chair, and we've got all year to continue with our policies, and so I'm excited about that. Disappointed in my race, obviously, but I'll be here through the remainder of the year, and a lot of good work to go. We have District 3 that will be running in a runoff, and it looks like there Corky Harmon will be taking on Mary. And obviously there I was looking and hoping that Wynn Carpenter would pull ahead in that second mm-hmm. position. That doesn't look like that's happening. But Corky should go on to win easily over Supervisor Rickert. And there's still a chance in District 2 right now. Mr. Long is only holding on to about 33 votes before he drops below 50. And the last three drops, he has consistently been losing about 1% at a time. And so with about 300 ballots left to be counted, there is a strong chance that he'll drop below 50%. And then a runoff with the number two candidate, which would be Dr. Laura Hobbs. And I look forward to that. And so we still have a solid chance of maintaining good conservative values on the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, be it without me. Supervisor Kellstrom is strong, and he'll be leading into next year, and Chair Cry. And overall, and our two ballot initiatives, Charter County and term limits, have passed reasonably well. So overall, pretty happy with the results. And we're analyzing data, obviously, as we speak. And the first a glimpse of this election, it looks like kind of a mirror image to what happened in the 2022 primary, where the first dump of numbers put one type of candidate ahead by a substantial amount. And then the subsequent drops were very similar, but the first one was very different. And so you have one that's very that stands out, and then the others that are very similar. And it's mathematically it's very hard to get to that, but we'll be analyzing the data. We'll have experts come in from around the country. This is important, and the data is very fresh, and we'll be able to research it, and then we'll make a conclusion thereafter.
Yeah, I think that Laura Hobbs at the last supervisor meeting, or I think it was the last supervisor meeting, made some great points about different laws she brought up and how really the county does have jurisdiction over the voting situation. And it was a remarkable, remarkable segment that she did. I'm going to probably have her on next week, regardless of what the outcome is. I'd like to have her call in and discuss that again. She had all the codes and all the laws that were so specific on our jurisdiction. I wanted to ask you, because it's a question that's been asked of me, is there a specific number in an election where they contest it? Is it like 100 votes, or what exactly is that? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was under 100 or under 1%. Uh-huh. I think it seems like it was under the 1%, but I can't recall. I know when in 2012, when Gary Cann won by 11, they did a recount there. In this particular case, we have two races here that are very close. Mm-hmm. The recall of Kevin Cry and the District 2 race mm-hmm. are all within under 100. Mm-hmm. So both of those could be recounted if they wanted. But I find it odd that the ROV and the ROV staff would want to recount, because we know how flawed hand counting is,
sure.
Right? It's, of course, it's a 40% flaw ratio. So, and obviously I'm being facetious.
According to one constituent, right?
All this argument over hand counting, and yet they want to check the results for accuracy by hand counting. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
Unbelievable. And so, there's been a lot of controversy over this commercial that was made on KQMS, and I know you addressed it yesterday, and did well, and I know Lori had addressed it previously. So, when we look at this, I mean, from what I read, and I've got the copies of what was written, as the press release by the ROV office, and I've got, I've heard the commercial a zillion times. I don't see any way at all that there's anything that was done by Bev Gray that even constitutes even a minute question. I mean, the only thing she said is, if you have information, get a hold of this number. We'll send you a way to get this information to where it needs to go. And the ROV office should have been doing that. It should have been a public service announcement.
Yeah, you should. You're absolutely correct in that. Anybody could make the same radio ad saying, hey, if you've seen this, give me a call. She didn't ask for ballots. She didn't ask for any of those things. So nothing that Commissioner Gray did was wrong or illegal. And in fact, what she did was exactly what she was tasked with doing, because she sits on not only the Shasta County Election Commission, but she sits on the ad hoc committee to look at voter rolls. So she has the authority to do
it.
Yes,
she does.
The county was in error to send out the press release saying this wasn't county sponsored, because in fact, through the Elections Commission, it was. She didn't do anything wrong. I took her down to the radio station. She produced that. She recorded it. She didn't do anything wrong. I've taken many people down to radio stations. But apparently that's the big controversy is, that Jones, Supervisor Jones, takes Commissioner Bev Gray down to do a radio ad. But the reality here, I think why they're so upset is because she is directly over the target. The voter rolls are dirty in Shasta County. We're getting information back. Even before this ad, people were calling me, people were calling her, people were calling all kinds of people saying, hey, my friend, for example, I had multiple calls to me about multiple ballots that people had received. One particular person, Ron, a good customer of mine, and he had already moved to Idaho 2 years ago. And he had received, and he's already been voting in Idaho, he's an Idaho resident, never to come back to California or Shasta County, yet he got a Shasta County ballot in the mail in his P.O. box, which he never gave the county. And so we're seeing these kinds of things, which is exactly the pattern that Dr. Frank showed in December in this county, and it's exactly why L.A. County just got sued and had to remove 1.2 million voters off their rolls. In every county, with maybe the exception of Modoc County, the voter rolls are dirty, and we're over the target. We recognize that. It is going to put a cloud over this election and every election until it gets cleaned up.
That's absolutely right. We have Laura Hobbs on the line. I want to bring her on. And, Laura, you did a stellar job at the Board of Supervisors talking about election code 19207, 19001, and you made something that most people would think was complicated, very simple. So I'd like you to take a minute or two and tell us about those particular codes and laws that make it so that the county does have more jurisdiction than the state is willing to let us believe. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, that's not what I was calling about, but I'm happy to do so.
Please do that.
Okay. The Board of Supervisors may canvass all election returns pursuant to California Election Code 25201. People need to understand the word canvas. That means to count ballots. Specifically, it's defined as the public process of processing and tallying all ballots received in an election. And the fact of the matter is that there's different election codes, such as the 19003, which states any city or county ordinance shall govern voting systems unless that other provisions of law is deemed consistent with this division. What this means is that county laws and ordinance supersede any state laws in regards to voting systems, and it's incumbent on the county to dictate the manner in which elections are conducted, and this is also written in California Election Code 2007, which states that the county has the authority, the county governing board may adopt any kind of voting system or combination of voting systems. And then lastly, and I think the clincher, is that the real will of the electors will not, and that's the voters, will not be defeated by any informality or failure to comply with all provisions of the law. And that's California Elections Code 19001. So, if the real will of the electors of Shasta County is determined by hand counting, then enforcing AB 969 would be in direct violation of California Elections Code 19001, which clearly states that compliance to state law is secondary to actually ascertaining the true will of the people.
This is great stuff, because this is going to go out to Southern California, and in particular people that we know in the California Republican Assembly in Los Angeles. Laura, you did call in because you had either a question or a comment. What is that?
Well, I have some breaking news. I've been looking at the ballot tracks data, and someone asked me yesterday how many ballots were left in District 2, and I estimated, they said 1,200 or left. So I probably have a fifth of that, so that'd be about, less than 300. But I actually looked at the ballot tracks data, which is the data that I got from the ROB's office that tells you the number of ballots that have been returned, how many are good, how many have been challenged, how many were undeliverable. We have 2,700 undeliverable, by the way, on our voter rolls. But looking at that, based on their figures in the ballot tracks data, there's actually 2,863 ballots outstanding. According to the press release on Friday, they told us there was about 1,200 outstanding ballots. So I know it may seem like a little bit, but it's actually a big amount when it comes to the very end because they front loaded it. So at the end, that's our last chance to, that's when, well, as Patrick explained earlier, that's when the percentages are most favorable to our candidates. So that's when we get in, the most votes as at the end because of the way that they've been doing this. In the beginning, we have what looks like front loading. The percentages are wildly different in the beginning than they are in the rest of the race, which is what Patrick was explaining. So at the very end, if they don't count all the ballots, then what happens is that candidates that are right on the cusp don't have a chance to get the remaining few ballots that they need. So potentially in District 2, for instance, according to my calculations, if all of these 2,863 ballots are counted, then Long will dip below 50% by only 13 votes. So when you're looking at anything that's under 100 votes, that's going to determine, you know, the course of the outcome of the election, I should say, it's actually vital that we have all of those ballots counted and counted accurately.
Yeah, I think the thing, and I know I want to get, thank you, Laura, for everything. Laura Hobbs, you guys, regardless of the outcome of what happens, a real patriot and somebody who really knows her research, better than most people I've ever known. Anyway, thanks again, Laura. Patrick and Lori, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, and I think there's some confusion about people being either sent from the DA's office or detectives asking people questions. Is that actually happening, or did somebody talk to anybody? And how,
what's the skinny on that?
The skinny, yeah. What's the deal?
Before Patrick continues, I just want to give actually a shout out to Kelly Frost. I didn't have the time to complete what I was saying, and he has always been a gentleman to Patrick. Unlike other people on that radio station, so shout out to Kelly, one from me.
Yeah, he's great.
Patriot,
I mean, yeah, he's. I mean,
we didn't have a chance to finish our conversation, unfortunately, and maybe one day I'll meet him in person.
Yeah, he Kelly's great.
To talk with him.
He's great. You know, and the thing I call him the greatest of all time when it comes to producers. Although, little Christina's pushing hard on you, buddy. But Kelly's great. I mean, to be able to do what he's done in light of the tragedy that happened over there with Pete Peters, and to be able to handle that the way he's handled it is just kudos to you, my friend. Great job, Kelly Frost. Anyway, getting back to the question about the detectives.
Yes.
Tell us stories.
So this obviously isn't the first time this has happened, and we have documented evidence now that the DA is sending detectives out to harass and to intimidate,
and they've been
doing this over several years now, and so highly concerned about some of the behavior within the DA's office. So, so here we had this radio ad that went out. Nothing wrong with it. So, two deputy DAs goes over to the media company from which this came from, and then questioned that individual to see who paid for it and so forth, and trying to catch me on an election finance campaign issue there. There was none. I paid for the ad myself. It was a few hundred dollars, and so there's nothing there. But they went to that extent to do that, and again, I believe it's a form of intimidation because there's nothing illegal with the ad. In fact, I should get a thank you letter for paying for that. And Beth should get an apology letter.
Absolutely.
For trying 100%. To intimidate her. But, you know, when we were doing the recall for Leonard Modi, two proponents of the recall for Leonard Modi were also met at their front doors by deputy detectives and threatening these individuals that if there's any, you know, false signatures or anything like this, that that's a felony and we could remove your kids. And, I mean, it really rattled some of our proponents for the recall. And it was a form of intimidation. In fact, when I heard of that, within 5 minutes, I called the DA and said, I want to make a formal complaint. That is harassment. And she said, we don't have a complaint form, which is not true. I said, well, you should make one. And she said, duly noted. And that was the extent of the conversation.
Were you a city? You were a city supervisor.
I was.
Ryan, go
I
ahead.
Was. And so I was a supervisor. I'd heard of this. And, you know, it's unprofessional and it's illegal conduct. And then other individuals within our community, if they are not liked, they are often greeted by either deputy DAs or FBI. And it's a form, and when nothing is illegal. And so it's a form of intimidation to try to get you to back down, to go away. But the fact of the matter is, for people like me that are highly seasoned in these things, it does the opposite, right? We now want to get to the bottom of it. If you're sending people out to harass, to intimidate, that's illegal, and we will hold you accountable.
It seems to be a pattern with him. I mean, I had some of that happen to me at an event by one of the assistant DAs, and trying to me, when I look at that, it seems as if, for example, I mean, it's no secret now, it's all over the news, that apparently there was a death threat to you and to your sister.
Yes.
Well, let me clarify on that, because that was where some of the confusion was. I was there when that phone call came in. And my sister-in-law answered the phone. And I was right there beside her.
This was at Jones Fork,
right? It was at Jones Fork. And I was doing some work right there with her. And that came in. And I could tell she was, you know, upset. And
shaken.
She's always
yeah.
polite and, mm-hmm. and says her name. Well, as soon as she said her name, his response, what he said, and I wasn't listening to the phone call, but I was right next to her. And I said, what was that? And she goes, that Stephen King just threatened to kill Patrick Jones
really?
And murder me, meaning my sister-in-law, because she was the one on the
really?
Phone. Yes. And that's what – so that did happen in 2021, and she was very upset. So she filed a report to RPD. Well, they came out and got all of Patrick's emails. This guy, his language is just belligerent. I don't know that he can do a normal tone, but – they found things like bomb, different threats within these emails, and they felt they had plenty to move forward along with eyewitness accounts.
Yeah, I just want to clarify this. You've got all the time in the world here.
Okay.
I just want to clarify it. The clarification is that you're saying that there is evidence that was taken down by the police of this happening, and this did happen. And you're saying there's a police report, there's actually...
Absolutely.
And there's complete evidence, and mm-hmm. would you have considered yourself a witness, or would it...
I would, but one from the DA has talked to my sister-in-law or myself or to Patrick. None of us have been visited.
Okay, so this all happened. Now, Patrick being a sitting supervisor, an elected official, that's even another law, isn't it?
Well, and so, can threaten somebody that's just a citizen and they're not going to do anything until they actually almost kill
you. But you were a sitting supervisor.
Yeah, and so Stephen King threatened to kill me and my sister.
Wow.
Murder your sister, kill
him.
I don't know why.
We have a police report. They came over. They downloaded 1,000 emails off of my email in the junk pile. I didn't even know how many was there.
Okay.
Sent it over to the DA.
They, meaning the police?
Yeah, the Reading Police Department came over.
Did
they looked at the evidence, felt that it was credible, to send it over to the DA. And then only recently did we get a letter saying we are not going to take up this issue.
And how long ago was this reported?
2021.
And the DA just sent you?
Just sent me a letter.
And that's why it came so relevant to me, is because this letter just came in the mail saying we don't have enough evidence. It's like, well, how much evidence do you need? Because when you threaten a public official, that can be a felony.
Yes, that is a felony.
Yes, so... You know, and I grew up around the courts, Terry.
Right.
And if you have evidence, I mean, there's people constantly at the boardroom that come in and threaten all the board, not all the board members, but the
but
board
with,
that they don't like.
That. Not with
no,
that.
No, it's going to jail, going to prison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I mean, obviously they just want an audience, or they want that attention, because there's no other reason to bring it. If you really have facts, by God, get the facts down, present them to the proper sources, but don't come in and just want a pat on your back for what you're doing.
Getting back to this, the significance with this is that we had a credible Reading Police Department threat against an elected official. They take no action, but yet they'll send two deputies over to a radio station to take a look at a legal ad that was produced by a member of the Shasta County Election Commission. So obviously,
was my point.
And that was the whole point, is that you have time to do this other frivolous stuff, but you will not do something that's more serious.
This is unbelievable. And well, so now, okay, did this, it, did this, when you got this letter back, did it come from any particular district attorney? Did it come from?
The deputy district attorney.
The deputy district attorney. So the district attorney is well aware of all these things that are going on. Stephanie Bridget is. And she's actually doing nothing about this. How does an average person expect to be protected from those kinds, that kind of situation and that alleged harm, How can they, anybody?
Well, and if you want to see,
it's unbelievable.
If you want to see the mentality of Stephen King, take a look. You can go to the archives, and he came to the boardroom, made a big scene. We had to shut the boardroom down. So you can take a look at this guy's behavior, on your own.
When you, I'll tell you some more facts when you come back.
Yeah, we're going to come back from the break, and I want to continue on with this. This is pretty remarkable, and I think to a degree it is breaking news to a degree, because a lot of this has sort of been really hasn't been brought to the forefront. I know that you brought some of this up with Kelly, and I think that, I'm a little shocked. Anyway, time has come for 51, folks. We've got to go on a break. I'm a little bit shocked about all this. So time has come for 51. Let's go to the break. Wow.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance for the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Sally Louise, St. Patrick's Day. We have Patrick on.
Yes.
I don't know if Lori thinks he's a saint, but, you know. Anyway, so did you want to share something, Christina? Or
it's not a lot about sharing, but, I mean, we also, KCNR, get affected about the same as Patrick Johnson. even in the chat rooms, we receive a lot of aggressive messages in this point that's saying that I'm a Russian terrorist, but I'm from Ukraine.
What? Who's doing that?
Our friend Stephen King.
Are you kidding me? What is wrong with this DA?
But I'm so happy, unfortunately, I'm happy and glad that it finally stopped. Something motivated him to stop texting us. Maybe he's still texting our managers or Carl. But the
Carl
main,
must have gone to the police.
Maybe, but the main production page is finally clean. But all the years since I'm working here, we were receiving a lot
recently,
of...
Has that just been recently, Christina?
It was like 2 months ago.
Okay. It's very interesting because actually Stephen King just went to court on March 5th, was trying to get a restraining order against two individuals. One of the individuals actually did a reverse restraining order back on him. And the judge, once he saw the foul language, the websites this individual was creating, the way he was attacking, I mean, I'm surprised the judge could even repeat the words in the courtroom. It was
Did he actually
foul.
Do that in the courtroom?
He did. He read one of them, and he asked him, is this your normal way that you communicate?
You mean there was a couple of F-bombs in there and stuff?
Oh, there was worse than that, Terry. Every single bad foul word, as well as racial slurs and attacks, and it was really bad. Mm. And ended up that the judge did see through. I've got to give kudos to the judge. Like I said, I grew up around the courts all my life. I have a great respect for the courtroom. My father was a DA, moved first circuit court judge ever in California and then superior court judge. And I'd go to all kinds of conventions and different things and meet with multiple judges. And I would go to the courtrooms all the time just to, hear the courts because I enjoyed it that much. And the judge did grant a restraining order against Stephen King to the family that was being attacked by him. So, this guy's obviously vile and foul and... I just can't see how they can even say, no, there's not enough evidence, because even the RPD felt there was enough evidence to move forward to the DA.
Was there any comments that RPD made you believe that?
I think in some of the emails and things. Okay. And then the eyewitness testimony from my sister-in-law. And like I said, nobody's ever even talked.
And Terry, in this particular individual, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of emails to elected officials. I know Supervisor Baugh was receiving him. I know Doug LaMalfa is receiving him. So it's not just isolated to me. It's a ton of people. And the difference with me is he threatened to kill me, which I am an elected official. And so that raises the bar. We had solid evidence of that, and the DA turns it down. And this guy has still been doing havoc for years after that we initiated that report to the DA. So her failure to act has caused a lot more grief. And just like on March 5th, it had to go to court with this guy because he's harassing other members of the community. And thankfully, the judge did the right thing and put a 3-year restraining order on Stephen George King. And, hopefully this stops, but who knows?
It doesn't. I can't. I haven't got the words. I'm sorry. Laura, do you have anything else, Lori?
Well, I mean, there's another recent action that happened, so I don't know if it's something with just the name Jones that the DA doesn't want to process. But a year ago, I processed filing against trespassing charges against R.V. Schneid from
trespassing on your
A-News
property.
Cafe on our property.
On your property, mm-hmm. your personal property.
Our personal property. Here's the bottom line. He talks to the deputy sheriff. He admits that he trespassed to the sheriff, the deputy sheriff. The deputy calls me and says he openly admits that he trespassed on your property. I said, really? I said, because the kind of person I am, I'm not a vengeful or mean, or and you can ask anybody even at the boardroom. I'm always polite, say hello. And I simply said to the deputy, I said, well, was he remorseful at all? And the deputy said, no. He said, as a matter of fact, if you pursue it, he's going to fight it and just basically run it through hell. And I said, well, then go ahead and follow through with the charges. The deputy did that, and I just received a letter last week from the DA,
okay,
that there's not enough evidence to prosecute. So I guess if your name is Jones and it's on there, then they're not going to follow through. Here is someone who openly admitted.
Let me ask you this. Is it the same assistant DA or deputy DA?
I'm not sure. I would probably look that up.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, it comes from the DA's office. And if they can't see it, I mean, like I said, around the court's enough. That's a cut and dried case. Open admission.
And the difference with this was that they took pictures. RV took pictures. Uh-huh. He posted them online, derogatory.
Our private space.
You know, defaming, you know, me. He put those out online.
He was on your property taking pictures.
He climbed over a locked gate to
And then he admitted it.
Yes.
And the charges, there's not enough evidence?
Correct.
Okay. And then your life is threatened and your sister's life is threatened. And there's several felonies there, and there's not enough evidence.
Correct.
There's something really stinky here. There's something really stinky here.
Well, now people know what we've had to deal with this whole time, and people attacking behind the scenes. People have no idea how much Patrick's constantly ridiculed or attacked. But he's a strong enough man, and he wants to do what's right for the county, so he stood up for it, and I praise him for that. I thank God that he's got the courage to stand up, because I've watched other people that were timid about putting a Jones sign, even though they were 100%. I voted for him already. I'll do it. But they didn't want to get intimidated by a neighbor that might have a different sign. It's like, you know, your voice is important. Yours is as important as the next person. That's what we're fighting for every single day. So I pray people can stand up and do the same thing.
And that's a bummer. And that shouldn't happen to anybody. But this is the level above.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Richter scale above. We're talking about threatening someone's life. We're talking about threatening it. This is, you know, and I'm just sort of explaining what I'm hearing here.
Correct.
From you two. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's and this is a level above. All of this is a level above. Yet they're happy to send a couple of, were those detectives that went over to see the radio station, were those detectives part of the DA's office?
Yes, DA.
Holy crap, you guys.
Well,
I mean, this is crazy.
It's not the first time, Terry, and so
there's a
pattern.
But people don't know this stuff,
right?
And I mean, regardless if they agree with you or don't agree with you, I mean, I wouldn't care what supervisor I had in here or what person I had in here, if I agreed with them or didn't agree with them politically or with anything else. But to have those things happen, that's unbelievable. What is going on with the district attorney in Shasta County? What the hell is going on?
Well, I guess you might need her in. Maybe you could do an interview.
I'd love to do an interview with her. I think it needs to be done. And I'll also contact other people I know on other radio stations, aforementioned people. And I'll be happy to do that, because we need to get some answers out of the DA on this stuff. Now, if in fact this is all this holds water, like it sounds it does, and you've got police reports, you've got reports from the sheriff's office, you've got witnesses. I mean, this is crazy. If this all holds water, there is something tremendously wrong going on here.
Well, it's different if it was hearsay evidence, and it's not.
None of it is, because
it's
you
not.
Have the
it's
reports.
It's direct
where,
evidence.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I don't even know what to say. I mean, this is all, if you're not shocked by this, folks, you should be. If you're not shocked by this stuff, you should be shocked by this stuff. And I don't know if there's other people out there that have had harassment like this, but I mean, really and truly, it's one thing to call somebody names or threaten them, like with, you know, hey, you're going to go to jail or something like that, but it's a whole other thing. This rises to a level to where the DA, there's no way that the DA should have any kind of, this, I ain't got the words. Matt, what say you,
sir? Good morning, Terry.
What say you?
Good morning, gentlemen. You guys are missing the big picture of what's happening. We're witnessing a communist insurrection from within our government. With Stephen King and the other domestic terrorists in Shasta County, this fraudulent government needs the people to revolt and use force to defend themselves against these domestic terrorists, because these people are terrorists who are trying to empower the government at all costs. They can't go after Patrick Jones if Patrick Jones doesn't use force to defend themselves against one of these people attacking him. Same thing with any other patriot in this county. These people will be allowed to harass, stalk, until somebody puts a bullet in them, or they put a bullet in the person they're trying to stalk. Because this government needs that. They need that confrontation. They can't go after these people, because to arrest Nathan assaulting me, for one example.
Well, I don't, Matt, I don't really want to go into that as much as I hear what you're saying. And I hear what you're saying. What we're talking about here is really and truly, I think that
there's a lack of accountability with the government.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's the main thing that, that we're looking at here. And
right,
I think
but you're
that,
missing the point of what I'm getting at.
Well,
so,
I don't think we're missing the point.
All right.
The point I'm just trying to get at is they need that confrontation to go after the real targets, and that's the people who will not conform to their ideological beliefs. You guys have a good day. I'll listen to the rest of the show offline.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, and Terry, you know, it's, you know, I think a good chunk of this is that, you know, for the first time starting last January, we had a conservative board, and obviously I've been conservative my whole political life, and we're moving policies forward in that direction, and you know, so part of this is a pushback on just not so much me individually as it is our conservative ideas and values that we have moving forward, and there's going to be a lot more of that this year. You know, like I say, I believe Kevin Cryer will withstand the recall. We have a lot more things to get done. We're cleaning things up. We're finding things that are problematic throughout county government, and we're fixing those. And so we're up for the challenge. We're up for the task, and no amount of intimidation from anyone is going to stop us in that endeavor.
Yeah, I think so. And I also want to state that, you know, people's opinions, they certainly have the right to their opinions. And, you know, but we in this program and we're not here to advocate any kind of violence. What we'd like is justice. And I think that's the main thing. And I think the big question you have to ask yourself is, if you want justice in Shasta County, can you rely on the district attorney to give you justice? I mean, it seems as if it's, what do they call it? Irish law? Is that what it's called?
Well, I understand, Matt, and you know, our founding fathers and our forefathers, you know, they had to resist tyranny.
They did.
And they had to, risk everything to be able to do that. It's up to the public when they recognize tyranny and then what you have to do with it. Do we live in a tyrannical society? Matt would say yes. I might agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question about the tyrannical situation that we have going. And I think it's, you know, it's gotten to a point where people are really getting frustrated. I remember when Carlos Zapata made his little statement to the Board of Supervisors. I think it ended up getting about 40 million hits on Facebook. And I think that, you know, the thing is that at what point do people really get fed up? It's sort of like, where do we go for justice? If you can't go to your DA for justice, I mean, if you're a sitting elected official, I mean, just along with just citizens. Apparently, there's been horrible things that have happened to the young lady here who's the producer here at KCNR. And I mean, all this stuff that goes on, and there's no justice anywhere? What the hell?
Well, when I was there the day that Carlos made his speech, I couldn't hear it because I was held outside of the admin building like everybody else. And that was part of the problem, was government wasn't responsive to the needs of the people. And COVID really showed us that. And the behavior of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors at that time really, you know, magnified the problems that we have with local government. And that's why I think it brought Carlos to say what he did. And a lot of people, you know, 30, 40 million people agreed with him. And, you know, so we have a new set of circumstances now. We have a much better board today. We're starting to take, you know, we have a course correction that's been occurring. And that's what all this pushback is for. And I'm hoping from here on out we get to carry out our policies and procedures. They've had decades to do what they've wanted. Now it's our time to lead, and we're going to do that for the remainder of the year.
You know, when you really look at what's going on, not just with the DA, but with the people that are responsive to what, you know, we always talk about the rank and file, but the people that are carrying this stuff out to where they know it's just, you know, it's just a situation where it's sort of picking the people that you're going to protect and picking the people you're not going to protect, and nothing really about the law. Yet, you know, to me, the biggest contrast is the fact that you have a life-threatening situation, and then you have a situation where somebody thinks that somebody may be out of line, meaning the district attorney, by sending in somebody to talk to a radio station about an ad that was perfectly legal. She never asked for anything private. And I think when we look at all this, there really, really has to be something done. Again, going for justice, and I think that heads need to roll. I think, you know, I mean, I don't think I'm alone in thinking that. I think that a lot of heads need to roll. A lot of people that are in office here that have been elected, people that have control over what happens with the crime here. I mean, this is, again, I ain't got the words.
I just think that it's really time. Some of the people that have been sitting back, and they agree with, you know, how the board's been moving forward in that direction, but they've been quiet or they're intimidated by a neighbor. And I know there's been some cancel culture that have gone to some businesses. Basically, multiple people coming in with the same verbiage just because someone has a campaign sign up for somebody they don't agree with. So kind of my plea out there, and it's not doing necessarily what Matt said. I don't believe you should pull out and start shooting people. That's not what our weapons are for. They are in the time of severe fear and crisis and fear for your life or your family or your friends, and that's what they're supposed to be used for. You think about that properly, conservatively. It's not just something to throw around. What I like to see is people stand up, ones that were sitting down or have a little bit of fear, and it's okay. Put your voice out there this time. Your voice is as important as the next person. So we do need people that have been quiet and sitting on the sideline, because that is what will wake up the DA or any public official.
You think that the DA could be woken up? I don't think so.
Well, I don't think so. I don't know if it whether they change how they want to prosecute or not, but if enough private citizens, your constituents, her constituents, stand up and say, what's the deal with this? Is this happening to other people? You know, is it just the Joneses, or are other people not getting due process of law? So not just the DA's office, any office. Stand up, because you might think your voice isn't important, but when the masses of people speak up, and I'm saying speak up politely, but speak up factually, let your voice be heard, and that is truly what we need.
I think so. I think that we have to, first of all, you know, again, this is the elephant in the room, or in this case, the donkey in the room, depending on which party you're in. But I think the deal is that where do we go for recourse? Where do we go for justice? I mean, that's a question I've been asking every week on this show for the last 2 months. Where do you go for justice? I mean, obviously what the DA is doing is horrible. In my opinion, it's horrible. Okay, so in most people's opinions that are clear thinking, it's horrible. The things that are being allowed that for some people in these positions is just appalling. Where do you go for justice? I mean, you know, where do you go to say, okay, you can't do this anymore, you need to start doing your job, and we can stand up and say, hey, you know, you bet, everybody stand up. Okay, where do we go? Where do we go?
Well, Terry, I think, you know, to a brighter side, because I still feel very optimistic about the direction that the county is heading. Is it perfect? No. But are we moving in the right direction? And as long as you keep moving and putting pressure and exposing whatever issue that we have that's concerning, we just keep that pressure on, and eventually it will get fixed. And we've proved that here in Shasta County. Don't give up. Keep trying. Just because there's injustices that occur time and time again, you can lose a lot of battles and still win the war. And I'm optimistic that we will win this war. Shasta County is being looked highly upon all over the country, and also in certain parts of the world. We've gotten international attention for taking a stand here when others wanted to but just didn't. And so I'm proud of the board. I'm proud of the direction that we're going. We're making improvements. Internal changes are happening as we speak. And ultimately, when there is something wrong, as long as we continue to keep putting the pressure, I believe it will get fixed here in Shasta County, and we'll be better for it.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I know that people like yourself and other people we put into office that want to do their constitutional duty, want to protect the electorate, want to protect our rights. I know that you guys are in there and you've got some ideas and things you can do. And again, so, you know, maybe that's the jurisdiction we look for, folks, is the The supervisors really should be looking out for interest. And thanks to Laura Hobbs and Bev Gray and you two and a lot of people, you know, we're beginning to understand really what our rights are. And you're so right about that, Patrick. It's just like with what Laura talked about earlier in the show, giving us law that says, hey, we really can do this and we can't do that. I think one thing this Board of Supervisors has brought forward, that's the current one we have now, is really that we're getting a lot of information that as far as understanding what it is that the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors are and the jurisdiction that they really have that we were never told before. Bruce, what say you, sir? Are you there, Bruce?
Yes, I'm here, Terry.
Okay, buddy, you got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to read California Election Code Section 15610.
Okay.
It says, I'm not reading the whole thing, but it says The election official may order that the ballots voted in the precincts be publicly recounted if both of the following apply. The election official has reasonable cause to believe the ballots in the precincts have been miscounted, and the election official is examined under oath to precinct board members, or in the case of ballots counted by a central counting system, the county board members, and they are unable to explain the returns of their respective ballots. I just find it funny that we're recounting the ballots for the recall. It just doesn't seem consistent with the past where the recall people should be have to pay the cost of the recount based on previous stuff. And I just don't see much in the code for a recount. I'm not opposed to hand counting, of course, but I just find this kind of odd, the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting that they keep saying nothing's wrong with the election system. Everything's fine with the ROV, so I don't understand why then they would want to recount.
Assuming that there's some kind of a miscount. Well, I thought the machines were 100% perfect. So
yeah, it's a little bit.
I find it odd.
I agree with you, Bruce. It counters what they've been saying this whole entire time, that the machines are perfect, the fairest elections that we've ever had, but yet they want to recount them by hand,
right,
which is
and
flawed by 40%.
Right.
You know, that makes no sense. But I actually welcome a recount as long as I can watch and have my eyes on so I can verify what I see, because that's what I did in 2012. And I'm going to request that this time. I don't have a dog in the hunt on this particular race. That's not my race. And I would like to look at that, because what you should see is if you flip 10 or 11,000 ballots, there should be never a disagreement with the humans. And what you're going to find is the computers make errors. We're better than the machines, and that's what we're going to find if they want to recount. And I'll be there to watch it.
I agree, and that's good. And that's going to force them to recount to District 2 then. It's so close.
They may have to, absolutely. Yeah. But time will tell. And it's funny that they want to take a look at one, but they're not really interested in taking a look at the other.
it's kind of
interesting.
The results that they want. Yes.
Right, exactly. I appreciate the comments, Bruce.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bruce. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's United Sovereign Americans. Look that up, folks. Very easy. United Sovereign Americans. Linda Payne from Election Integrity Project's now working with them. Marley Hornick, who I absolutely adore, is an attorney out of New York who's part of that. They have 18 states that are going after these issues, and the thing is that a lot of them have the same issue. Three things you have to remember about voting. You have the voter, you got the vote, you got the count. The rest of it is tools. The tools and how the tools are used and what tools you have are under the jurisdiction of the state and the county. So when you go to United Sovereign Americans, you can learn about these things. And really, Bruce, to take it a step further, there's federal law that's being violated. There's federal law, federal statutes, United States Code that are being violated right by the Shasta County ROV office itself. It's not up to us to clean up the dirty voter rolls. By law, they have to. And I guess I'd end this part with that, and that is that how do you have people who are able to go ahead and make 13 billion transfers in accounts with banks within a matter of minutes, but you have a dirty voter roll? So, you know, anyway, Patrick, you want to take us home on this?
Well, I just wanted to make a last comment with regards to candidate Dr. Laura Hobbs. What she had said was that we can pass a local ordinance with regards to hand counting, and we can ask the Secretary of State to certify a system to do that. And that would be contingent upon the Secretary of State certifying that system. And I think that makes great sense. And I think that puts the problem back onto the Secretary of State. We're asking for you to certify a system for hand counting, and let's get it done. And so I think that is going to be something that you're going to see at the board level in the next few weeks to a month.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. You're awesome people. Thank you so much for being the patriots you are. Time has come for 51, and make sure you share this program. Share, share, share. It's archived 10 minutes after we're done, so make sure you share this program.
Hey, CA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.